Hi, listeners. This is a quick thank you for listening and for your ongoing support. If you're enjoying the program, please consider clicking the follow or subscribe button if you haven't done so already. It really helps us out. There's no better way to support us than doing that or sharing the show with a friend, colleague, family member, or any new or expecting parent in your life. It's totally appreciated. On with the show. Hi, I'm Sarah Trott, and welcome to the Fourth Trimester Podcast. I'm a new mama, and this podcast is all about postpartum care for the first few months following birth, the time period also known as the fourth trimester. My postpartum doula, Esther Gallagher, is my co-host. She's a mother, grandmother, perinatal educator, birth and postpartum care provider. Fourth trimester care, our topic, is about the practical, emotional, and social support parents and baby require. And importantly, it helps set the tone for the continuing journey of parenting.
Hi again, listeners. It's Esther today. Sarah can't join us, sadly. She's such a busy working mom now. But I do have my wonderful guest, Adrian Villalba.
Yes.
Villalba.
There we go.
Is that's better. And he's going to talk with us today about perinatal chiropractic. But I wanted to remind you all that in addition to this podcast, which you can subscribe to and think about possibly supporting us with donations, we also have our Facebook page and our website page, fourthtrimesterpodcast.com. And there's a lot of great stuff on that page. And on the Facebook page as well, it's an opportunity to share stuff. So please check us out on those other two platforms if you get a chance. And here we are. I learned of Adrian and his practice a handful of years ago, and he has come to our doula group to talk about the form of what I like to categorize under body work, really, healing modalities, along with our guest, Leah Keller, who's also a physical therapist who works with core and pelvic floor fitness. So his work is very much integrated into the perinatal health and healing that we like to feature on our podcast whenever we get a chance. So I want to first say happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Yes.
I'm so excited that this is the day you chose to be on our podcast.
Yeah, well, what a birthday gift.
I'm happy to have you be here. And why don't you launch in, Adrian, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
And what kind of brought you to being a perinatal chiropractor?
Great. Thank you. My name is Adrian. I started down this journey from my own health reasons, just like most people do. And I used to work for the National Park Service. And at that time, thought I was invincible. And then, you know, some health stuff came along and it really drove me to try to understand why I'd gotten to a certain place or a certain position, and then overall be able to help people never get in that spot or get out of it. Mm-hmm. And so I started my chiropractic journey going through school. And then at the end of that school, we have a clinical period. So the second half of school, we're seeing students and patients. And being a male, being a very active dude, I always thought, oh, I'm going to be a sports chiropractor. But one of my first patients that I started to see, she was just going in for wellness, ended up becoming pregnant. And then I saw her through her whole pregnancy and then gave birth and then a few months of her postpartum period. And that experience actually ended up being the one that gave back the most, the one I was most fulfilled with, the one that really sparked a curiosity and an interest and the passion of like, wow, this is how I want to spend my life. As a person, I have always wanted to be a father. I thought that this period in life is what else screams vitality more than this time period? And so being able to contribute to families' well-being and journey along this path in a positive way has always been something in the back of my mind that I feel like has guided me to where I am now.
That's a great story. And I will say, right, and I'm sure you've experienced this many times in your practice, you know, when things aren't going along a real wellness path, it's so distressing for the people involved. And so whenever we can contribute to the, you know, the whole person's well-being, everything affects everything.
Yeah.
You know, when it's hard not to become depressed if your body is making it really, really unpleasant for you to get through what you're getting through.
Yeah. So, as you know, when all you can focus on is pain, you can't focus on whatever else is going on. And pregnant and new mamas, they've just got so much going on that if they're focused on their pain, then the quality of the rest of their life has to take some hits. And so in order for you to be 100% focused on baby or 100% focused on your career, whatever that might be, your relationships, those all tend to suffer if you are just focused on your body the whole time.
Right.
And so that's really where I feel like I can make a big difference, where if mom's not focused on her pain, then she can focus on baby, or she can focus on her relationships. And she's just deeply connected with what's going on and not having to get distracted.
Yeah. And it is such a thoroughly and deep physiological period of continual shifting.
Yes.
From one state to the next, to the next, to the next. Mm-hmm. And
just when you think you got it, it changes, doesn't it?
It's exactly right. And just to have support and nurturing of any sort as you ride those kind of tidal waves of of change in the perinatal period. And so when we're speaking about the perinatal period, as some of you I'm no doubt know, we're talking about conception through weaning.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Essentially. From a physiological standpoint, right? Yeah. It kind of involves the body as it moves through all those states and really, you know, weaning, however it happens, when it happens, we kind of feel like to whatever extent the mom is now kind of back in her body as her own.
Yeah. A little bit more independent.
Yes. Slightly. Yeah. Yeah. And not disconnected. Of course, the social emotional continues. And of course, you know, if your baby's weaned and your body's out of whack, it's not like you're not still in a perinatal crisis potentially. Correct. It's all important, but that's kind of the framework of the perinatal period for us, our purposes. So, let's dive in and really talk about what you do.
Yeah.
I'm so thrilled that your curiosity led you in this direction, as I think is very much the case for most of us who work in this realm. You have to be like a little extra added curious about it and not take it for granted.
Yeah.
And so, I guess as we were talking about before starting the recording, I'm just very interested in sort of the where, when, and why of all of this. And so you tell us.
Yeah. So during school, you know, our focus is mainly the spine and the head, the body, the nerves, that kind of thing. And our main job in life as human beings is to heal. That's what our body does. And as a chiropractor, I'm constantly looking to facilitate that process. And if there's ever anything in the way of that, that's what we call a subluxation. And so we're trying to get rid of those things. Mm-hmm. And those things can come up in forms of like tension or kind of the different distribution of patterns in your body. And so when you're pregnant, then you have a whole another set of jobs. That's the only time you have another set of job or another job. And, so to be able to then connect the two nervous systems in your body now and to facilitate the healing and the growing of a baby takes on a different form. So there is extra training that I've done. I'm certified by the ICPA, which is the International Chiropractic Pediatric Association. And you can find their stuff on ICPA4kids.com, the number 4kids.com. And there's a good directory for anybody that has gone through that program. And they do extensive teachings on how to be clear and safe with a baby. And then I'm also Webster certified, which is what most mamas end up coming in for during their pregnancy. And they try and get away from the idea that we turn babies because that's practicing obstetrics. There we go. Oh, that word.
Yeah.
But really what we're doing is, again, trying to facilitate the healing and the growing process, balancing out the pelvis. And when you do that, balance out all the ligaments that hold the uterus to the pelvis, then baby has the best ability and the most amount of room to put him or herself in the right position for a natural birth. Mm-hmm. And it's just facilitate whatever baby needs. And so then for postpartum, we again start with the healing process and try to facilitate that. And that's the period where you really need the most amount of support, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So there's this weird, not philosophy, but perspective, I think, that is that I've seen, is that when you see a big belly, you know, it's this, oh my gosh, let me give you some flowers. Like, this is amazing.
Let's be really nice to that pregnant.
Let's be really nice to her. And, yeah. And rightfully so. When in reality, I think, at that time, mom is feeling so powerful and so amazing and feeling great. Of course, probably a little uncomfortable, but for the most part, really strong. And then once baby's born, everyone's focused on baby and kind of not forgets about mother, but mom seems to be in the back seat. And even to moms are focused on baby. Yeah. And so I know that the best thing for baby is to make sure that mom's well. Mom has to fill her own cup before she's able to feed baby, just like the airport. You have to put your mm-hmm. own mask on first.
Yeah.
And so...
And moms are, you know, I've said it many times on the podcast, you are in a more vulnerable state
yes.
in the fourth trimester
right.
Than you might be or normally would be during pregnancy in
yes.
most cases.
Right.
You know, you're healing and recovering.
Yeah. And so for me, I'm constantly trying to communicate to my mamas who come pre that the work that we're going to do post birth is almost more important, because now you really need to heal to the best of your abilities. And mm-hmm. Regardless of how baby is birthed, there's going to be some tissue damage. To what extent is yet to be seen, but your body's ability to heal will be facilitated by making sure that your nervous system is clear, that the patterns of tension are distributed throughout your body so that not one tissue is overloaded, mm-hmm. Specifically the pelvic floor, mm-hmm. And then all the deep core that's intricately connected to that. So mm-hmm. the pelvic floor is just one grouping of muscles that is connected through muscles that go all the way down to your foot and all the way up to your head. And so if we can start work before you actually give birth to be able to connect the full line, then you're going to be decreasing the load immediately. Mm-hmm. If we can balance your hips forward and back, left and right, up and down, then you're going to be putting less load on your body in general. If you start to be able to be a little bit more sensitive as to where you're having some discomfort, or not discomfort, but dysfunction in those tension lines, then you're going to be better equipped postpartum to start the healing process and distribute those loads. Mm-hmm. So the tacks brass of what I do is that I make mama feel very comfortable afterwards. You know, I create a space where she's heard, number one, and she feels connected. And then starts to help balance out the ligaments, the joints, the muscles, everything that was around the pelvis, as well as the rest of the spine. We are very holistic practice or approach. Mm-hmm. And so we make sure that your body is firing at all cylinders, that your body is being able to tell your brain what's happening. Mm-hmm. Just like a air conditioning, it's really easy to akin that to. You need to have a thermostat to know what temperature the room is at, yeah. to know whether to have more AC or more heat. Mm-hmm. And so the body works the same. The body needs to be able to tell exactly what's going on to be able to say, like, oh, I need more acid in my stomach, or mm-hmm. I need a little bit more oxygen into my blood. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of feedback loop is constantly happening and contributes tremendously to your healing. So the better connected you are to your body, the better you're going to heal, the less you're going to be focused on your body, the more you can connect with your baby, mm-hmm. which is, I think, ultimately what mamas really want.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, we all just naturally, you know, in a very, very basic, natural way, want to be well and functioning. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Whatever our motivation into the world, inside of us, we want and perhaps need, you know, to be attached to a physical body that's as well as it can be.
Yeah.
And we tend to, I think so often, I think particularly caregivers are prone to this,
yeah.
wouldn't you say,
yeah.
Adrian? You know, we tend to kind of forego that.
Yes.
In lieu of like, what's out there that needs my attention,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
regardless of how I feel, regardless of how I'm doing. So naturally, to whatever extent, new moms are in this place where they're compelled, right?
Yeah.
Deeply, deeply compelled to care for their babies, whether or not they're feeling it.
Right. Yes.
And so it can be a real, let's just say, conflict of interest
yeah.
in those first 3 months. And it is so naturally. I mean, this is not a social emotional judgment statement.
Yeah.
It's normal and natural to feel conflicted between, oh, if I could just sleep for 5 hours straight, I would feel so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
That's
right.
Very true.
It is true.
Yeah.
Right. And oh, the baby's stirring and they're going to want to eat and
yeah.
it's going to hurt a little and, you know,
yeah.
and how do I pull that together? I'm so not wanting to do this right now. And yet you do it,
yeah.
right? You do it again and again and again. And I think it's important to acknowledge that in that very compelled state, there still is room to make good choices
yes.
on your own behalf, to,
yes.
to eat as well as possible, to sleep when your baby sleeps, whenever mm-hmm. that is, to surround yourself with appropriate social emotional
mm-hmm.
feedback, meaning people who can be appropriate in
yeah.
your space, and to look to your healing and recovery.
Yeah.
Not in that order necessarily,
sure.
but certainly I think of those things as co-equal.
Yeah.
Right? They're all part equally
mm-hmm.
of the healing and recovery that moms are going to do. Now, every mom's going to have her specific personal healing and recovery journey.
Yes.
But it sure helps to know what the resources are that are out there.
Totally.
So, Adrian, why don't you tell us a little bit about then when would you be coming to see
yeah.
a new mom? Like in terms of, you know, her healing.
Yes.
When is
yeah? So for the postpartum period,
mm-hmm.
Depending on when they need it, you
mm-hmm,
know, and that's
mm-hmm.
different for every mom.
Okay.
So when mamas come in, and we have different like care plans and packages.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they sign up for something like that, we do a complimentary home visit.
Mm-hmm.
And then for other moms that just need some support, we do a home visit. And
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Depending on how the birth went, will differ on how mama might be feeling. And so
mm-hmm.
we will do a home visit whenever you want, even if you're not pregnant, we'll still come because
mm-hmm.
that's the need. And so
mm-hmm.
we find that mamas tend to ask for postpartum help if they've had a more traumatic birth or a birth that didn't quite go as planned.
Mm-hmm.
But then let's say, for instance, last week I had a mama that was totally well, and she just had this in her back pocket,
mm-hmm.
which is part of why I do it,
mm-hmm.
So that she knows it's there, and she just like, oh, I feel like having a little self-love.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
bring them on in.
Yeah.
And so other like pain points that I usually hear,
mm-hmm.
Breastfeeding is usually the biggest one.
Yeah.
So as you know, the letdown reflex is a reflex. And so
mm-hmm.
that deals with
part
your
nervous system.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so by helping the thoracic cage be mobile, be open and be responding well, that
mm-hmm.
actually helps with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in our home visits, we complimentary check the baby as well. So
mm-hmm.
babies get chiropractic care as soon as they're
mm-hmm.
out. If parents so choose,
mm-hmm.
Like my son was, 2 hours when he got his, 2 hours old when he got his first chiropractic adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can oftentimes help with latching,
mm-hmm.
which is huge. That was,
yes.
My wife's biggest kind of hurdle or, challenge postpartum. And so I'm very, empathetic on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I know it very intimately.
Mm-hmm.
And then other things, just pelvic pain. If a mother did have to birth via cesarean, there's a lot of tissues there that need some help, and some
mm-hmm.
Other joints around the pelvis can help ease the tissues around the front half, because
mm-hmm.
there's no joint right here, right below your belly where the incision happens,
right.
But everything around that, the tissues are now conform to a new position. And so that can use some help.
Well, and let me just say, having doula'd my clients through C-sections on those occasions, you know, you're usually under anesthesia from your rib cage down.
Yeah.
You don't feel much and your body's being manipulated from place to place. Carefully, hopefully, but not always.
Right.
As careful as your body might require. And so your body will have been through a lot.
Yeah.
Before, during, and after your actual cesarean birth, and you know where you get to sleep and how you get to sleep and how you're holding your body isn't normal,
right?
It's not, it's, there's going to be a lot of tension in that body just because. And so it does make sense. And I was very curious to ask you about cesarean section because, of course, then after giving birth in by cesarean, moms feel very limited in how they can move and where they're comfortable. You know, they can't lie on their sides often because of the way the incision pain affects them.
Right.
Lying on their back is probably comfortable. Mm-hmm. Standing is probably comfortable to an extent, but you know, it's very interesting to me, like how, because I imagine it would be really good for the healing of, of the lower body.
Yeah. And to your point, no matter what type of birth you have, there's going to be tissues that take some damage.
Absolutely.
And your pelvis is going to open. That's that's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the joints get pushed a little bit beyond their normal ranges. And so to come back from that is, not always going to be perfectly symmetrical, perfectly balanced. And with a big trauma like that, you constantly get inflammation. As you know, the postpartum period, there's lots of inflammation happening. And when that doesn't get circulated out like fully, it can leave some residue. And that just makes joints a little sticky. We call it just the sticky joints. And so making sure that the joints are moving well is our number one kind of tool. And then we look to the soft tissues. And when they're ever, I think one of the things that I like about our office is that we are not scared to cross refer. We in fact enjoy it very much. It helps with our community. We are able to tout the fact that we have many people that know us and that, and also that we trust to send to them. So if there's something in the tissues that I can't deal with, then I'll know who to call. I'll know who to, to get the help to. If I feel that they just need someone there, to watch other things while they sleep, then I know who to call. If they need some more help with latching and lactation, I know who to call. And so it's not just, I'm going to be your everything. It's, I at least will know where, you might use a little bit more support and who to send you to. So.
Well, we in the doula world always really appreciate that because it's the truth of the matter. I think more resources necessary, not less. And imagining that there's just one person who can do everything for you is always a mistake in life and particularly a mistake in the postpartum period. And that doesn't mean you need a crowd around you.
Totally.
And again, I want to really appreciate you, Adrian, for being the home visiting chiropractor. I don't know how many chiropractors do that, but it's new to me.
Yeah.
Like you're the first I've ever heard of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I say to my new moms, like, you're not leaving the house. It's not good for you.
Right.
Getting in and out of the car to go to the pediatrician visit isn't a good design. They should be coming to you.
Sure.
And there are those who will.
Yeah.
So
there
find,
are those, who
find
will.
Those. Right. Yeah. You know, getting in and out of the car to go to an obstetric follow-up visit when you're not yet healed and recovered. Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Right.
And it puts more stress on you.
And it puts more stress on you. It seems like it's a way to get care, but let's really weigh and balance the kind of care you need right now. You need to be able to rest and recover. And how are you going to do that if you're sitting in an office waiting for somebody to see you?
Totally.
So,
and on the flip side,
I'm kind of particular about these things, but I'm also in a position to see how moms are doing.
Right.
And help them make a good decision.
Totally.
And because I'm there in the first two weeks.
Boots on the floor or whatever
Yeah. And so otherwise they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
They would just say, oh, yeah, I guess I have to go because I've been told.
Totally. And on the flip side, I do want to mention that it's not that I don't want mamas to move. There are a lot of things that you can do at home that are, you know, the word exercise, I feel like is a little extreme, But movement and breathing, there's a way to encourage your body to or support your body in the healing process where movement is involved. And so hopefully none of those like words trigger you to where you're like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There are things that you can do for yourself. And we teach that to our moms beforehand. And then we have videos that help mom afterwards as well.
Which is awesome because after all, once she's given birth, she still has to eat and get up to pee and poop and sit in different positions to breastfeed or lie down to breastfeed. And all of those things are having an effect.
Yeah.
So how you get out of bed, how you get to the bathroom, how you walk around the apartment to feel your body in motion and help it, you know, circulate.
How you hold baby.
How you hold baby.
How you pick baby up and down from the crib.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
How do you hold a car seat?
I see.
All these things.
I'm like the one who says, don't carry that car seat with a baby in it. Carry the baby.
Or think you have your partners there.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Have a way to carry the baby to and from and leave the car seat in the car.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, nothing should move with a baby in it, except if it's in a car.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion.
Sure.
And I think learning how to do these things appropriately, if and when you're going to be doing them, is so important.
Yeah.
I mean, lifting and twisting is the way most people throw themselves out of whack, right?
That's how
it happens.
That's very true.
Most of the time. And that's exactly what the car seat manufacturers are asking you to do.
Yeah.
Lift a thing and then twist to get it out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Back up.
Right. Yeah.
Hi, listeners. I have some exciting news to share with you today. We've partnered with Every Mother, your go-to destination for evidence-based exercise therapy regimens. Whether you're dealing with diastasis recti, preparing for birth, or navigating postpartum recovery, Every Mother has your back. With personalized daily routines tailored to your core and pelvic floor needs, they're here to support you every step of the way. Say hello to a stronger, healthier you with Every Mother. Visit their website today and use code 4thTrimester10 for 10% off your personalized regimen. That's fourth spelled out, F-O-U-R-T-H, trimester10 for 10% off, because every mother deserves the very best.
I have a lot of little snippets on my Instagram page, and we have videos at our office of if you have to carry the car seat, because a lot of people do, how to do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
And on that note, like how to move as a parent. So I have this series called Mama Movement, which is just, it's for papas too. But it's a designed movement patterning of picking stuff up from the floor. Like I was saying, picking the baby up from the floor or putting him or her down in their crib. The high chair is a big one if you're later in the postpartum time, because my baby right now is almost 20 pounds now, and that's a big wiggling kettlebell. You know, and even if I'm not in my gym clothes, I still have to remember that this is a weight that is putting stress and forces into my body. So if I can act with proper form and that becomes second nature when I don't have to think about it, then my body can get stronger from these movements versus getting broken down.
Yeah.
And so you see a lot of mamas and dads hold the baby out with the hips all out of whack.
Their body's back.
Yeah.
I did it for minimum of 6 years in my life doing babies.
Yeah. And then now you're a postpartum doula, so you're still around babies all the time. And so the way in which you hold yourself is going to be very important. And so for parents that have never done it before, there is this whole, you got it, you know, it's natural, this is fine, and it doesn't hurt right now.
Well, let me just tell you, folks, someday you're going to be my age, I'm about to be 60,
yeah.
and it will come back.
Yeah, so
it
there are...
totally comes back to haunt you.
There are a few things that you can do that will help you stay a little bit safer and in the end be able to do the things that you want to do for longer.
And let me just say, you know, I had... my first at 18, I was in a different body than most of my clients who are pushing 40 or more when they're having their first kids. Mm-hmm. So all the more reason why we really, really, really need to be well-informed and in a good practice of body awareness.
Totally. And you hit it earlier on the head. I was going to say our four pillars in our office, what we tout is to be able to eat, move, think, and recuperate better. Mm-hmm. That's those are the four pillars of health in our opinion, and in most big kind of philosophies. And so if we can support those four things in general, you're going to be increasing your resilience to stress. And that's our big, we'd like it to be our big tagline, because we're not going to de-stress your life, especially as a new parent. As soon as baby goes to bed, you might have a pause for a minute or two, but baby gets back up, baby starts to scream, and the stress goes right back up. So if we can just increase your resilience to that stress, where your threshold isn't quite so low, and little stresses in life as they come, they don't cross that threshold, then you're going to be experiencing less symptoms, pain, diseases, whatever that might be.
And potentially more joy, which would be nice. Right?
Yeah. So yeah, like you, it's all features, right? Mm-hmm. We do this, we do that. But the benefits of not crossing that threshold are unquantifiable. The connection with your baby, your ability to just let things roll off your shoulders when they could be annoying at some point. They could also be funny. You can laugh a little bit more. You can connect and then be more creative in the way that you respond. And
your brain can release more oxytocin.
Exactly. Which, man, I'd like some more
powerful stuff.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So our ability to increase the resilience to stress comes from those four pillars, like you were saying. And you can just do little tiny things to increase those things. You know, like you said, making better decisions. Small decisions in the end is life changing.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap up here pretty soon. And I feel like, you know, we talked about the three big questions and more, but I want to circle back to the when a little bit and talk a little more about that. Because I think, you know, on the one hand, if new moms having just given birth sometime in the first 24 hours could get a nice adjustment and or a massage, wouldn't that be great?
It'd be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be fantastic? Yeah. But I will also say, from both the mother and the doula experience and perspective, most of us just don't want somebody showing up who isn't, you know, part of the family, so to speak. Often if we've delivered in the hospital, which far too many people do,
yes,
in my opinion.
Sure.
But in any case, there's just too much going on around you as it is.
Right.
Doesn't mean that the best thing to happen wouldn't be your visit from the chiropractor. But, and then, you know, day three, there's this big hormone shift. Most moms are feeling their vulnerability has kind of, it really hit them on day three. Yeah. The endorphins have worn off. You know, breastfeeding is starting to hit harder.
Yeah.
You know, the recognition of what it all is about and what you're experiencing with it. And that's also, if you've delivered in the hospital, that's the day they push you out of the nest and send you off. And it's quite disruptive.
Yeah.
So given that sort of first 3 days trajectory, and sometimes it's 4 and 5 if you've had a C-section, you know, and then you're home and there's some relief in that, but then there's also the existential crisis of, oh my God, here we are with a baby all alone.
I remember it very well.
Yes, of course you do. Like, is there, like, I'm imagining, you know, day, if you haven't gotten around to it, like, it, you know, if you just couldn't have integrated it between day one and day seven, that day seven might be the point at which you could imagine, like, okay, my body's starting to settle in to whatever in is, but I don't want to go off the rails, and it would be good to have some therapeutic body work.
Sure.
What do you think of sort of like that as a number? It's, you know, it's arbitrary, but,
So far, obviously with my wife, I was able to be there hours afterwards.
Yeah.
And with my, business partner's wife as well. The big thing for me is listening and making sure that mom feels, comfortable with me. You know, I'm a man. And so, sometimes that could be, an issue.
She doesn't want to have to get out of her jammies.
Exactly.
For this, right?
Yeah, usually not. And that's why it has helped having a previous relationship with me. So most clients, the earlier that I see in postpartum, have been clients that have already seen me before. Mm-hmm. But it's usually, like you mentioned, around day 7 to 14. It's in that second week. Mm-hmm. But it can be, it's just whenever you're ready, you know, and the earlier for me, ideally, the better. But I don't want my visit to stress you out more than the benefits that you get. That's the ultimate balancing point. I think what I'm going to provide is definitely going to be a good thing for you. The only thing I can guarantee is that people are going to be healing better after I see them. Mm-hmm. But again, there's so much going on. You're acutely aware of baby in those first couple days. And that's where your focus is. So if if someone coming over to your house is stressing you out more than the benefits, then I say, let's give it a couple days. Mm-hmm. But ideally, the first 2 weeks, just to make sure that when you're healing and you're coming back into your own body, that it's balanced, that it's straight, that everything is distributed. The tensions are distributed throughout as many tissues as possible to not overload one particular spot. But then it's really up to you. And then after that, you know, you'll start to feel better and then you'll be able to decide when you want your next visit. Mm-hmm. But usually within the first 2 weeks is ideal, but whenever's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, certainly looking back, I could have done with, on my own behalf, any kind of body work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a thing that I didn't get postpartum and didn't feel I could afford, didn't know it was available necessarily.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think just, you know, helping all of that tissue come back into relationship with itself is a big thing and would have been imminently helpful to me. And I had easy births, Adrian. It wasn't because I had these difficult births that tore me apart. No, it wasn't that at all. It was now I was doing the work of being a mother.
Yeah.
And it's hard work when the baby's on the outside.
Right.
And, you know, living in sort of suboptimal conditions on every level. But yeah,
There are easy births doesn't mean that it wasn't the most.
I was still postpartum.
Exactly.
They're all the way in postpartum.
Birth is the most physical and emotional event of your life. And so you're going to have traumas from that, you know, and the word trauma might be extreme for some people, but just the physiological sense of tissues will be stretched beyond their capacity for a bit. And so you will be healing and that's your main job. And so the easier.
And you're healing while having to do the hard work.
Yes.
It's, you know, I mean, let's not,
especially
I repeat it again and again and again, right? Like, let's not forget that you don't get to just, you know, I've been lucky with my back injury. I can just lay around my apartment if I want to.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm aware of the need to rest and recover, and there's nothing impeding that currently.
Yeah.
So that's not the case when you're postpartum.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's all the more reason to, you know, bring in those modalities that are going to really serve your recovery, whatever you know those to be.
Yeah.
Reach out. Yeah. Adrian, this has been lovely.
Yes, thank
thanks
you.
So much for stopping by my little apartment and talking to us about all this great stuff.
Yeah.
And we will post notes and on the website about your visit and, of course, your recording.
Yeah.
You're going to probably find ways to put it out into the world even further, which is wonderful. And we may have occasion to want to have you back.
Yeah, thanks. I'd love
again.
To come back.
Maybe we'll talk about chiropractic for dads next time.
Yes,
wouldn't
yes.
that be good?
Yeah, we are often overlooked.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. Okay, well, everybody, it was wonderful recording on your behalf today. Circle around and look at our other platforms. And if you can help support us, that would be well received. And hope you have a great, great day and are getting healthy and happy and enjoying life. Take care.
You can subscribe to this podcast in order to hear more from us. Thank you for listening, everyone, and I hope you'll join us next time on the fourth trimester. The theme music on this podcast was created by Sean Trott. Hear more at soundcloud.com/SeanTrott. Special thanks to my true loves, my husband Ben, daughter Penelope, and baby girl Evelyn. Don't forget to share the fourth trimester podcast with any new and expecting parents. I'm Sarah Trott. Goodbye for now.
Hello again, bicycle man. I know you're doing all that you can. I wrote the song, simple and true. I wrote the song, I'll sing a song for you. You got your wheels, you got your gears. You ride around town without any fear. You got your pedals, you got your brakes. You always wear your helmet for safety's sake. Hello again, bicycle man. I know you're doing all that you can. I wrote the song, simple and true. I wrote the song, I sing a song for you. Hello again, bicycle man. I know you're doing the best that you can. I wrote the song, simple and true. I wrote the song, I sing a song for you.